What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Student Loan Planner Podcast. You've got myself, Megan McGuire, today, and I'm going to be interviewing two of our newer consultants. I've got Dorinda King with us and Becca Baldoff. So I am excited to welcome you guys on. We're going to talk about some quick fun facts, and then we're going to get into some actual student loan topics, or actually pre-student loan topics. We're going to talk a little bit about pre-college planning today and the tax side of pre-college planning. Becca's on the tax side of things, so we're going to have a fun conversation today. But welcome, you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. I don't know how fun the tax part of it's going to be for some folks, but useful. We like news you can use.
People right? say that about student loans too. Student loans aren't fun. Tax isn't fun, but hey, we're here to not necessarily make it fun, but to get you guys the right answers and save you guys some money. So, well, let's start off with some just quick facts about each other. Dorinda, where are you from?
So I was born and raised in Southern California. Still live here, Los Angeles area, although I had aspirations to move to a different state at some point that just never panned out. Been here my whole life.
Nice. Okay. And what about you, Becca?
I actually grew up in Syracuse, New York, and then now I live in Western New York in Buffalo. Go Bills. That is a perfunctory, we have to say it. We know who our people are. They're probably saying it on the other side of listening to this podcast right now.
Yeah. Y'all are on the total opposite side of the U.S. right now, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So we do.
And you're like in the middle, kind of.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I'm Georgia. I'm still more East Coast, but I'm getting there. Yeah. We are finally, we went a long time, guys, without having a Pacific Coast consultant on the team. We were all East Coast and Central time zone. And so we didn't have a lot of folks who could do like the later evenings or who, because the time difference, 3 hours is a pretty big difference from East Coast time at the end of the day to Pacific Coast time. So we're excited to have a little more variety and timing. So next quick question, of course, this is a student loan planner podcast. So what interested you guys in student loans? I'll throw it to you, Becca, first.
Honestly, my interest in student loans originated from, you know, my own journey with them. I was able to start taking college classes right in high school, which enabled me to graduate with my undergrad a year early. But I'm also a CPA, and, you know, to sit for that exam, it requires an extra year, a fifth year per se. For me, it was a fourth year, but
overachiever. Yeah,
so that's really what got me into it. I have two sisters that are, you know, 8 and 10 years older than me respectively. And I just saw everything that they went through with student loans. And I did my darndest to try and minimize the impact that student loans were going to have on my life. And even despite that, I mean, it's still a challenge. I mean, obviously, like, I have a plan now that I've educated myself and gone through this, but that's really where everything originated, was just the struggle that I saw my sisters go through, and then also tackling my own student loan debt. And how did that fit into life in general, as far as, you know, marriage, babies, et cetera. Like, I didn't want it to be hanging over my head. So now that I have a plan, I feel a lot better about it.
Good. Yeah. The planning piece, and we say that, we preach that on this podcast, to have a plan really helps reduce anxiety around the unknown about, you know, what a student loan path is going to look like if you have to take student loans for your aid, but also what is that going to mean when you're in repayment? How is that going to affect the rest of your life? So having a plan is a big deal. What about you, Dorinda?
Much like Becca, definitely have my own personal experience with loans as well as professional. So before I actually got into the financial services industry, and more specifically as a financial advisor, I used to work at colleges and universities and higher education administration. So the last two colleges that I worked at in particular were private institutions. And I definitely saw students that struggled with paying for their education and ultimately graduating with an enormous amount of debt. And that's just from getting a bachelor's degree. We're not even talking about going on to graduate or professional schools. And then I also saw, you know, parents who were struggling as well, either not saving enough for retirement or raiding their retirement accounts or taking out second mortgages to try to help their kids pay for college. And then from putting on my financial planning hat, I have clients that, you know, kind of run the gamut. So I have those that have savings and investments or stock options that are about to vest that they can just take and pay off their student loans if they wanted to. But I certainly have others that don't have that luxury and are struggling or trying to figure out, how do I pay off my student loans when I have these other competing financial goals and objectives that, you know, I want to achieve? And then taking that a step further, having clients that are parents that take out PLUS loans. And so now not only are they tackling their own student loan debt, but they're also tackling, you know, those of their kids that they take out to help pay for their kids' education. And then from a personal standpoint, so I went to 3 colleges. I have 3 degrees. The last 2 were at private schools, my master's and my doctorate. And again, private schools are expensive. That's where the bulk of my student loan debt came from. I think like a lot of borrowers, you know, I told myself, this is good debt, Dorinda. This is debt that, you know, you're investing in your future and you're going to be able to get a job and ultimately, you know, pay these suckers off. And in part, you know, there's truth to that, right? But I will be honest in that I never imagined the magnitude or like the weight, the heaviness of carrying a 6-figure debt, feeling like I'm never going to be able to pay these off. So I've definitely had some sleepless nights and shed a few tears. And so I was going to say passion, but I don't even know if I could call it a passion. I feel like it's become more of a like a purpose or a calling to help other people that have also had sleepless nights and that have also cried and that have also felt like they're going to be well into retirement trying to pay these things off, to help them, you know, as Becca said, develop a plan and be able to see a light at the end of the tunnel.
I love that. And you guys both have one of the characteristics I would give both of you guys with working with y'all so far is your thoroughness. Like, and me and you, Becca, joked about this past weekend about how like folks in tax are generally considered very thorough. But Dorinda, you are like amazingly thorough as well. Like, you guys are just very on top of the details, and like the details of student loan planning are really important. And we can, as financial people, we can get so caught up in the numbers that we sometimes forget about the emotional side and the almost physical response side to student loans and how it can impact people mentally, physically, emotionally. So the compassion has to be there for folks in our industry, I feel like, to be able to help and have the biggest impact possible. So thank you for sharing that, Dorinda. That's very, very helpful. Well, so what is one big goal that you guys have for yourselves? I'll throw that to you, Becca, first. What's a goal that you want to accomplish this year?
This year, we're actually in the process of building a house right now, which is why like you can see everything in my frame like right now. So we're currently living in a 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom. Me, my husband, and my 11-month-old daughter. I mean, we want to get in our house by the end of the year. She's starting to walk and we're running out of room. So that's definitely something that we're looking forward to.
You don't want her to be your little partner in crime and your consultations just in the background? Like, hey, create some comedic relief.
Yes. It definitely gets tricky as far as, you know, where can I go? So as far as limited availability, I'm very sorry, but that's why. I mean, if you're comfortable here, you're crying baby during your consult, when we're putting her down for bed, you know, I can definitely open up my schedule for you, but.
Got it. Okay. What about you, Dorinda, for this year?
I don't know about this year in particular, but definitely like a life goal, I would say, is to be able to build and grow my business to a point where there's enough revenue to be able to help my family, and more specifically to help my aunt and my dad. They are the oldest living relatives that I have in their senior years. And I don't want them to have to worry about anything. So, you know, I want their long-term care to be taken care of and all of their immediate needs to be taken care of. I mean, not that they haven't planned, but if there's any excess expenses that they haven't planned for, I want to be able to just jump in without blinking an eye and help. More of a life goal.
Definitely. It doesn't have to be limited to this year, for sure. But it could be some steps that you take this year to help you get there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, let's jump into some nerdy stuff. Let's talk about college planning, because both of you guys have some experience in college planning. I would love to hear a little bit more about just your business, Dorinda, in the college planning space. And I don't even know where to start, but kick me off to how you started doing that type of work and how your process works when you start chatting with someone who's thinking about saving or wanting and desiring to save for their children for college.
As I mentioned, before I became a financial advisor, I spent 20 plus years working in higher education. I earned my doctorate thinking that I was going to be at some point at a minimum a dean at somebody's college or university, and ended up changing careers 10 years ago, got really interested in personal finance, initially not necessarily by choice, but by force. But then, like I said, it turned into this passion. Because my background is in education, I don't know, maybe certain clients gravitated towards me that had college planning or college funding issues and goals. I discovered this niche, if you will, that a lot of financial advisors just don't know about. I mean, most of the time when we talk about financial planning, or more specifically about educational planning and saving, it's opening up a 529 or opening up a custodial account. You know, it's more on the savings side of it and not the late stage college planning part of it for folks that just haven't saved, right? But it's, you know, their kid's 12th grade year and it's like, oh no, what do I do, right? So my business really focuses on late stage college planning. It's Collegiate Financial Coach. And what I do is I help families that have seniors, or not even necessarily seniors, but mostly 11th and 12th graders that need help with college funding. And so it goes a step beyond just investing in a 529 or a custodial account. Again, you may not have already done that. So the opportunity to do that may not be as readily available or as good of an option for you at this point. So what I do is I help families that have teens that are college bound, and I help them develop a college funding plan. So with that, helping them determine what their expected family contribution is, which is soon to change to student aid index. So helping them determine what that amount is, what that figure is, and ultimately helping them determine if they're going to qualify for financial aid or not. And if not, which, you know, many of my clients are higher earning folks, and so, you know, the likelihood of qualifying for financial aid isn't as likely, then it's looking at what other strategies are available, such as trying to target schools that have a generous track record of providing merit-based aid. And so ultimately helping them develop a plan that is right for their pocketbook, but that is also going to be the right fit for their children.
And when you say expected family contribution, I didn't realize that they were changing the name of it. That is interesting. But it has always been a really complicated calculation where it's just not a simple like 1.2x times this number. It's different. Maybe that they're layering in, they're calling it index. Say that word again.
So it's the student aid index. And really, I mean, the reason they're changing the name is because oftentimes parents hear the name or hear the term expected family contribution, and they think that that's the amount that they are going to be expected to contribute to their child's education, when in reality, it may be less or it may even be more. Oftentimes, it ends up being more than that amount or that figure. So to alleviate that kind of confusion, they just changed the name to the student aid index. And to your point, there's a lot that goes into determining that amount, you know. So a lot of times families think, oh, I make a lot of money. Well, income is just one component. There are several assets. Components that go into, yes. So your assets. And that brings up another good point. There are ways in which families can legally and ethically rearrange their assets so that they're not factored into the financial aid formulas and could subsequently result in them being eligible for more aid if they do planning early.
Yeah.
that's the key word. Got to do it early.
Yeah. Bold. Underlined. <Yes. laughs> And so when you say aid, you're more referencing like grants, opportunities where not loans, right? Because loans can always be available, maybe not the subsidized portion of a loan, but someone can always access federal student aid through loan vehicles, but you're more so talking about grants and opportunities in that way. Is that right? Money that you don't have to pay back?
It's really all encompassing. So yes, it's what we call free money. So grants and scholarships for sure. But it's also, you know, incorporating loans if that's necessary, you know, for the family. And with that, helping to educate them on how to borrow smart and the strategies around borrowing. So yeah, it's all of those different types of aid. All of that's factored into developing their plan.
And Becca, you have some background in this area as well, right? More so on the tax side.
Yeah, I do. My CPA license actually qualified me for another certification called Certified College Financial Consultant. And essentially, the education that goes along with that enables me to consult with folks throughout the life cycle of paying for college, really. So whether it's saving or, you know, like during that they waited until the last minute, or, you know, if they're at the end of life repaying their student loans that they've taken out. However, you know, with my business, I generally try to focus more on the tax aspect of it. So Dorinda mentioned trying to strategically and ethically be able to, just like for business owners, for instance, there are methods where they can actually like pay their children. And that's a tax reduction strategy and method, but it also helps in that legacy expected family contribution calculation and moving forward the student aid index. But that, I mean, the expected family contribution, what I think is interesting is that folks do, like Dorinda's right, like the perception is that's your out-of-pocket cost, but that's not the reality at all. Like when they say expected family contribution or people say out-of-pocket for that, that's just like, okay, here's the gap really of like what it costs to attend this school and what you need to come up with, like what we're not providing within, you know, merit-based aid or any sort of grants that you qualify for. And that's not just federal student loans either. For a lot of families, it's private student loans. And it's just, it's kind of interesting. I think that the tax aspect of it is not something that's highlighted enough. And especially if you're in a position where you are starting early, like we mentioned, you're being very intentional about it, there are ways that you can be very strategic so that you're not putting yourself in a spot where you have very limited options.
Yeah, because I think that's the reality of timing. Like if you get to a point where your kid is in 11th, 12th grade, like you did have options in the past and there still are options, but you have limited the flexibility of those options or just the number of opportunities and options that you have, unfortunately. And I'll throw this question to both of you guys. What would be a model student in your eyes or a model client in your eyes from someone who comes to you, they just had a child, they say, I really want to save for my child's education. What do I do? Like where do they even go? What would you say to that person who, and let's maybe set the stage too, they have a good paying job, their spouse also works, let's say retirement so far is looking good, they've been contributing to retirement, no consumer debt. What would be a response to that person?
Well, this is the Student Loan Planner podcast, so I'm going to start off by assuming that they have student loans because they're here.
That's a good one. Yeah, I didn't mention that. Let's assume they also have student loans because that's a tricky part of the equation is you're paying down your own loans, but you're wanting to save for your child's education. So let's assume that. That's safe to assume there.
Yes. So the first thing I'm going to say, I'm going to give, you know, the party line that Dorinda mentioned as far as opening a 529, but not for the reasons that you think. So the Secure Act actually opened the door to allow folks to save up to $10,000 in a 529 account that can be utilized to pay towards their student loans. So that is actually a new vehicle available to folks. The only kind of caveat with that is that, and this is important why it's important to come to Student Loan Planner and to talk to us first, is because depending on what state you're in, your state laws may not have aligned with the Secure Act. It may actually be a taxable event. So that's why it's important to come to us and to have a plan and talk to a financial professional, because depending on what state you're in and what 529 plan you're in, you may be setting, you know, have the best of intentions, but setting yourself up for also a hard fall. But that's the first thing that I would tell folks. And as far as, you know, being an ideal client, I that's where I would start really, but I'll stop really.
So you would say, and this is interesting. So you would say, because I think we have a few articles on this actually on our blog, where, you know, the availability of 529 funds is there to pay down student loans. So would that mean, and since I'm a technical person, would that mean opening up a 529 in your own name, contributing to it, and then putting that limit, if you are able, to your student loans to take some of the tax benefits of doing that? and then transitioning or changing the name on that 529 to your child? Is that how you would go about it?
Definitely. So one of the benefits of a 529 as well, you can actually open the 529 in your own name, like before, like even when you get pregnant or before you adopt, as long as it's in your own name as the beneficiary. So that's something to think about as well. You don't have to necessarily wait. And given that it would be initially with the intention of just saving towards having like almost like a sinking fund for repaying your student loans, it's not something that you would need to be concerned about not being able to use either. So as far as the 529, yeah, that there's really great operational flexibility associated with those, which isn't necessarily offered with some other vehicles like an UGMA or an UTMA or other custodial accounts. Now we're really getting into the nitty gritty, but so the 529, you can actually change the beneficiary name within your immediate family without any financial implications or taxable events.
So you would say, you know, someone comes to you and they're talking about planning for their child's education. You would say, well, let's take a right turn real quick. Let's contribute some, get some tax benefits to your own student loans, and then we'll come back on course to start contributing for your own kids, right? That's what it feels like a little bit, which that's kind of the nature of, I think, student loan planning or financial planning sometimes, where the client might have an idea of what they want to do and it might sound a little straightforward. And then they talk to an advisor or a tax professional, and then they're like, huh, I didn't realize I should have considered this. And then it may take their course a different route, maybe temporarily, like in this case, but it provides a lot of financial benefit to some extent. So what about you, Dorinda? What would you say? Or would you like to add on to this strategy?
I would say an ideal client is someone that like really comes to the table ready to listen, ready to implement any recommendations that I make, that wants to do so ethically, morally, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'll get really those important clients that'll be like, well, what can I do? Like, do I hide money here?
Exactly.
I know what you mean.
Right. So that's really important. And yeah, that are just ready to implement the recommendations that I make to help them, you know, with developing their plan. And even if that incorporates student loans, to not be afraid to borrow. Like, there's a way to borrow responsibly. And there's a way to, you know, end up being able to, you know, strategically pay off that debt. And even in some instances, see a portion of it being forgiven. So I think that's really important too, to just not be afraid to borrow, but be willing to learn the different strategies and ready to implement them as you begin to tackle that debt. But your average family can't afford to pay for college outright, especially if they have multiple children. So it becomes really about borrowing responsibly.
Yeah, the cost of attendance is it, and we've known this for years and years, it outpaced everything. You know, the cost of wage inflation, home prices, it's outpaced everything. So is there a change to this in the future? Is there a turning point? I don't know. We'll see. Now, a lot of times advisors, and I know I've recommended this in the past, but 529s can be limited in the sense that they can only be used for those qualifying education expenses. And they're pretty broad though. Like, you could use 529 funds for many things, not just tuition, but to the extent of if it's possible to save too much in a 529, because maybe the child gets a full ride scholarship, or they take a cheaper college direction, or they don't go to college. You know, maybe they don't decide not to, or have a different career goal path in mind. But to those concerns of flexibility, do you recommend kind of a hybrid approach with contributing to something like a 529 and contributing to a more flexible bucket, like a non-retirement vehicle? Or what would you say to those questions of concern or those concerns of flexibility? Because there's pretty hefty penalties to not using money from a 529 to go towards like what they should be going towards, right?
From a flexibility perspective, I think that the financial industry is actually catching on with that, that while the 529 is well intended, there's no guarantee that, you know, in, you know, 17, 18 years that your kid's actually going to want to go to college even. like we could be in a completely different environment at that point. So one of the things that, as far as flexibility that I've come across recently, is that they are offering rollovers into retirement accounts from 529s. There's, you know, an associated lifetime limit for that as well. But, you know, even using retirement accounts themselves, you can actually use retirement accounts as savings vehicles for college as well. So it's kind of like the concept of having the parent put their own oxygen mask on first on the airplane, addressing your own student loans and preparing for your own financial future. You don't want to shirk your responsibility for saving for your own retirement or anything, especially because withdrawals from retirement accounts, even if they happen before you would normally be able to access them for retirement, those are also qualified distributions as far as education funding.
So some flexibility there. What about you, Dorinda? What are your thoughts on?
I don't have a whole lot to add. I think that Becca nailed it. Other than there's this saying that you can always borrow for an education, but you can't borrow for retirement. The analogy that she used of, you know, putting your own, putting the oxygen mask on yourself first is really key.
It is. And in financial planning and the CFP coursework and in our industry, I know education planning is really important to parents, because it's also because I think they're scarred. They've already gone through the process of borrowing the loan, their own loans, and having to deal with that side of things. So they want to make life easier for their kids naturally in the future and not have them to worry about those things. But I think having an idea or a well-crafted plan on how to do that smart and how to do that to provide flexibility can be, that's the definition of financial planning right there, right? Giving ourselves options, giving ourselves flexibility, planning for what's important, but also not overlooking taking care of yourself. So, but thank you guys for the insights. I think that's super helpful. And when it comes to loans, I know you guys have been on lots of calls about Parent Plus loans so far. And Parent Plus loans are becoming more and more of our consultation business because cost of education is getting more and more expensive, and loans might be the thing we have to run to for just the availability of options we have, depending on when you're looking at this. So how have those consultations been going, guys? I know they're they're a little harder because we're talking about the double consolidation right now. That process has recently gotten a little more tricky with just some of the process changes within the federal system. But Dorinda, I know you and I have worked on quite a few Parent Plus consultation cases together. What are some of your takeaways or words of wisdom for folks who have Parent Plus loans or who may need to be borrowing them in the future? What are some thoughts there?
Well, there are definitely strategies, and Megan is the double consolidation, double plus loan consolidation queen. And in fact, I just recently had a consult with a couple that the husband has been a teacher for several years and was told that he didn't qualify for PSLF, that his employers didn't qualify for PSLF. And so we just quickly used the PSLF tool, put in, you know, a few of the schools that he worked in the past, and discovered that indeed he is eligible for PSLF, but and could end up having the full 10 years and 120 equivalent payments. But the wife had taken out the PLUS loans for their son, and she also had her own loans from undergrad. And fortunately, she had not consolidated anything. She just waited for a consult, and it worked out perfectly because, you know, now she's going to be able to do the double consolidation and then eventually consolidate those with her loans and then end up being on a repayment plan that is going to result in a payment that's so much more reasonable for she and her family. So I don't know if that answered the question. You said key takeaways. What are some key takeaways? Just that there are strategies out there, people, that, I mean, listen, since coming, I'm pretty astute, right? I thought I knew my stuff. And since coming to Student Loan Planner, my mind has been blown. I mean, there are so many strategies and loopholes and techniques and so much information that I never knew. So I can only imagine that your average borrower, is just no way they're going to know this information. So whether it's PLUS loans or any other types of loans, if you are in any way overwhelmed, concerned, stressed, again, want to see a light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to tackling your debt or even seeing if you are a forgiveness candidate. Like, we are your people. That is what we are here for. Utilize us.
Well, and you touched on some really key pieces or key opportunities of savings there and planning opportunities. So you had mentioned that, you know, the husband was the school teacher, but the wife is who borrowed the Parent PLUS loans. So we do a lot of these conversations. We do actually have pre-debt consultations. They're not as common because we typically consult with folks who already have the loans. But in those conversations, we're having this kind of strategy talk where we're talking about, okay, well, if we need to go look at Parent PLUS loans, who should borrow them and why? And if they came and talked to us, we weren't around 10 years ago, but if they did, or whenever they had borrowed these, we would have talked about that. Like, hey, there might be a benefit to borrowing these in dad's name because he's the public service candidate. Or it doesn't have to be public service related. It could be the lower income spouse, because then we could do a married separate strategy to still go towards loan forgiveness and it be a lower payment.
That was exactly the case with this situation. The wife was the lower earning spouse, and we did model the married filing separately versus jointly. And because her income was so low, if they filed separately, her payment would be zero. And wow, she would still be on the forgiveness track, albeit IDR forgiveness, but forgiveness nonetheless.
The double consolidation itself is a process. It is not a fun process. So we talk about it a lot because it provides a lot of savings because it opens access to these cheaper income-driven plans that just Parent PLUS loans don't naturally have access to. But it is not a fun process. And so folks can certainly do it on their own. It's a loophole, though. So I tell folks, like, they're not going to make it easy for us to get this done. Like, they're not on our side here. And we only have until July of 2025 to get double consolidations completed. So that's also why we're seeing an uptick in these types of meetings, because we can provide a lot of relief with the double consolidation process. And also, don't get me wrong, there's still a lot of relief we can provide after this July 2025 deadline, because there's still some strategic planning we can do there if we have Parent PLUS loans. But it does get pretty tricky when we are looking at college funding, college loan planning for parents who have borrowed loans. But Becca, you've been on more than a few now, of double consolidation cases or just Parent PLUS loan cases in general. Any thoughts on your end or interesting cases you want to mention?
I think similarly to Durin, the thing that kind of blew my mind with the Parent PLUS double consolidation, which also was not on my radar prior to coming to Student Loan Planner, is the fact that it's so nuanced. It is incredibly nuanced, even just completing the double consolidation. And unfortunately, like, there is a lot of misinformation out there. I had a couple cases where folks were advised to consolidate from a lawyer instead of a financial professional, and they actually did the consolidation incorrectly. Now they have to either, like, take out another loan, or there's some other strategies available to them, but it just becomes that much more complex. And when you're already in that mindset of, like, this is overwhelming and I don't want to do this, it's just that much more stressful. You feel like you're doing yourself another disservice.
There's a lot of opportunities for savings and a lot of opportunities to also mess up. Like, that's the other thing, is like, our consultation process, we do charge a fee and it can be steep for folks. But at the same time, we're also preventing folks from making mistakes. And when there's a lot of money on the table, when the stakes are high, you have to weigh that. It could be worth the help to make sure that you're getting that what you need to get done and done correctly. Well, thank you, ladies, for hanging with me today and talking about college planning and 529s and Parent PLUS loans. I think it's so cool that you both have a similar background in the college planning space, and you guys are going to be helping us refresh our pre-debt consultation for folks. But any last parting words before we cut out for today?
I think the only other thing that kind of occurred to me as you were talking, Megan, is that from a consultation perspective, somebody recently reminded me that as part of exit counseling when you leave college, that the advice is not to pay for advice associated with this.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. True.
There are a lot of scams out there. This is not one of them. We are 100% worth the money, worth the value. Please don't be afraid to book a call with us.
Yeah, no, it is tricky because there are those consolidation debt companies out there that promise like we could forgive your loans if you just consolidate. But look for the qualifications, the CSLP, the CFP, CFA, like look at our stack of designations, the letters or the alphabet soup behind all of our consultants' names. It's pretty impressive. And we're here to help give you the best advice to save you the most money. But thank you both for joining me today. I appreciate the perspective on the front side of student loans too, because we often talk, of course, this is a student loan planner podcast. We talk about the backside of student loans, having the loans. So it was a fresh take on pre-debt planning. You know, if you guys are interested in booking specifically with Becca or Dorinda, shoot help@studentloanplanner an email and they'll make sure that you get the right link to go to one of those two fine young ladies. And thank you for hanging out again with us. And we'll see you on the next one. Hope everyone has a great day today.